I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to the Killer Cuties podcast.
Happy Tuesday.
Happiest of Tuesdays to you as well.
We're halfway through the first month of 2026.
Whew. Time flies when you're making a podcast with your friend.
Yeah. It really does.
Yeah. Well, that's the way I like it.
Yeah. Flying. Flying. Time flying.
Mm-hmm.
We are here today to talk about a brand new movie called We Bury the Dead.
Yes. Our new movie of January.
Yep. January new movie. It's not even out yet in some countries.
Hot dang.
Yeah. But first, we've got some news.
We do. Do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I should. I should like that. There is a viral video circulating right now of a man that the video claims is Matthew Lillard chasing a home intruder out of his home in nothing but a pair of blue whitey tighties. Bluey tighties?
I've seen it. Bluey tighties.
Bluey tighties?
Yeah, I guess because they're not whitey tighties. They're
not white. Tighties. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You've seen it?
I've seen it.
Yeah, it sounds just like Matthew Lillard. Should I play it?
Sure.
We can listen to it, right?
Motherfucker, what's up? Motherfucker, what's up? What's up, motherfucker?
I'm getting closer.
Yeah, it does sound like him.
Absolutely does. And it kind of, I mean, I haven't seen him in his underwear in a while, but it does kind of look like him, too.
It's a tall, lanky white man.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's not like enough to actually tell, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it to me, it absolutely sounds like Stu Mocker at the very least. Well, we're here to break bad news. Well, there's good news too. The good news is that video is not AI Matthew Lillard. That's the good news.
Yeah.
But the bad news is that it's not Matthew Lillard at all. This actually happened, from what I can tell, a little under a year ago, maybe even longer. It's an unnamed, as of now, Canadian man in Edmonton who has gone viral several times over the last year for his antics. But I thought that it was kind of a funny and relevant story because a lot of people are falling for it, thinking that it's actually Matthew Lillard. It is not, guys.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people. And then, like, if you scrolled through the comments, there were multiple people at the bottom who were clarifying, hey, this video is pretty old. It's from Canada. It's not him.
Yeah.
So you had to kind of dig past all the people who just took it at face value.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still a funny video, though.
Very funny.
And hey, if you want to imagine that it's Matthew Lillard to make it even funnier, go for it. You know, we're not here to stop you.
Yeah. But we are here to debunk.
That's true. Mostly ourselves when we tell fake facts, but this time, someone else.
Yeah. All right, what have you got?
Well, first, I have trailer news. An upcoming psychological thriller called Sweetness just released its first trailer. So that's exciting. We'll link it in the description. Some people are saying that it looks like a modern take on Misery through a Gen Z lens.
Oh.
So that could be kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be releasing on digital on February 13th, so just in time for Valentine's Day.
Cute. Yeah. Date night.
Yeah, a little date night. The summary is as follows. When a superfan learns that her rock star idol is spiraling into addiction, she makes it her mission to save him, whether he wants her help or not. But when her desperate plan spirals out of control, she kidnaps him in a delusional attempt to fix him. So it does sound very Misery-esque.
Yeah.
Could be fun, though.
Could be. Sounds like 1D fan fiction.
It is, because I wrote it. I found my Wattpad.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't be the first time One Direction fan fiction was made into a movie, that's for sure. So
Dude, you want to know a secret? I'm going to tell you anyway. For the longest...
I want to know, so...
For the longest time, I thought a Wattpad was like a Game Boy.
You know what? If you didn't know, I think that that's a fine assumption to make.
Thank you.
Because it kind of does sound like that.
Yeah, it's just... It's giving,
I was playing
like,
Nintendogs on my Wattpad.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, or I was writing on Wattpad. Like, that sounds like you have a device in your hand.
Yeah, it's like a... Like an iPad.
Yeah, imagine like a BlackBerry is what I imagined. Or like the ones that like folded up a little bit, you know? Like they just slid up and then there was the keyboard.
Like a Nintendo DS.
Yeah.
Very Wattpad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, next news from me.
Great.
I know you haven't seen the movie yet, but I think you've seen the trailer. Today I learned that the chimpanzee in the newly released horror film Primate is not CGI.
Oh.
Director Johannes Roberts wanted to use old school practical effects whenever possible during production. So Ben the pet chimp is actually played by creature actor Miguel Torres Umba. Co-star Troy Kotsur did an interview about Miguel and had nothing but amazing things to say about working with him and how well he really made Ben come to life. And then sub fun fact, Miguel's 14-year-old daughter also got to be part of the film because she got to screen test the costume that her dad wore.
Oh, fun.
And then the biggest news of all is that Primate, it's been out for like a week and a half. It's currently sitting at a 79% certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. That to me is
like it.
The biggest news of the year. That movie, after that trailer, has a 79%.
I think because people go into it knowing what it is, you know?
No, that's not how most people see movies.
Oh. Well... I just don't see how you could go to a movie called Primate and expect, you know,
cinema.
A masterpiece. Yeah, you don't go into it thinking you're going to see the next Silence of the Lambs. You go into it knowing what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But a 79%, I mean, that's basically a B.
They like it. They really like it.
Crazy. Yeah. Maybe we'll have to watch that one too. Also, we were just having this conversation. They must have been listening to us about how CGI monkeys are fucking ass and how they'll never top the practical monkeys of Planet of the Apes riding on horses by the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, we did go on a whole CGI monkey rant a long time ago.
Yeah. And this one looks real good. That's awesome. I thought it was CGI and we finally made a breakthrough. But no, it's literally just
motion
practical.
Capture.
No, it's a suit.
So it's a guy.
It's a man in a suit.
No digital effects?
No digital. It's a man in a suit.
I don't. Interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Looking at it now, like I went and looked. I was like, there's no way. It's absolutely a man in a suit. But... the illusion was there for me until I found that out. Sorry if I just ruined the illusion for everyone else. But yeah, it's a man. His name is Miguel Torres Umba. It's not motion capture. He's in the suit.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fun. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. This weekend, together?
Sure.
Great. What's your last news?
My last news is there's a little bit of a controversy going on with Stranger Things.
Uh-oh.
I know. We just can't stop talking about it. The documentary One Last Adventure, The Making of Stranger Things 5, released on Netflix, and it showcased the final season being made. Some eagle-eyed fans spotted what looked to be ChatGPT open in several tabs on the Duffer Brothers computer while they were writing an episode in Google Docs. So obviously this kind of led to the theory that they used generative AI to at least help them write the episodes, which obviously upset a lot of people. There's a lot of... AI is very divisive right now.
Yeah.
We're staunchly on the we don't like it side of things. But anyways, it's obviously not confirmed. This is just what people saw. That's what it looked like, right? Anyways, now the director of the documentary, Martina Rodwin, has spoken about it. She said, these are direct quotes, "I mean, are we even sure they had ChatGPT open?" And then she followed that with, "But But to me, it's like, doesn't everybody have it open to do just quick research? So I don't think that helped, because it was very like, do we even know that it was ChatGPT? Which, like, she probably should have stopped there instead of being like, we all have it open on our desktops. I don't know. It wasn't the greatest statement, I think, that could have been made regarding it. She did clarify that she never witnessed them using generative AI during the making of the documentary. So as of now, the Duffer Brothers nor Netflix have responded to outreach regarding it. Who knows if they will? I don't know. It's just a little bit of a controversy going on right now. Kind of sad that that's like how it's ending, but
yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we'll get Stranger Things season 6. And
I hope not. I'm like one of 10 people that actually really loved the last episode. Well,
yeah.
How it ended, at least.
Yeah. If it wrapped up nicely.
Yeah.
They can go and make movies, which is what they want to do.
Very clearly.
Stop saying you want to make TV shows that are an hour and a half long every episode and come out years after each other. That's just movies. Just go make movies.
Yeah. But then their movies would be like 9 hours long.
No, they could do like a whole like Marvel Cinematic Universe where they just release one every 6 months and it's... Do that.
Yeah.
Give me back hour-long episodes, 24 a year.
45 minutes.
Well, with commercials. You think I have ad-free? No. That's true. But I'm saying, you know, like, 45 minutes, go back to the old format.
Yeah.
Just give me that.
27 minutes.
I want 45 No, I'm kidding. I'll settle for that. But Jesus, just make it a TV show. That's what we want.
Episodes of Buffy are only 27. Aren't they?
I don't think so.
Hey, a whole hour? No way.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, they're 45 minutes.
Oh, damn.
The way the good Lord intended.
Yeah, honestly. But see, that doesn't feel too long.
No, it's the perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you. It's a formula that worked for decades. Why are we trying to change it? I'm
agreeing with you.
Sorry, I'm all hopped up now.
It's like someone accused you of watching and talking about Brave all the time.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Crazy.
I can't imagine.
Ay-yay. Okay, well, shall we?
We shall.
Okay. We're here today to talk about We Bury the Dead. I'm going to give you a little overview. It's a 2025, technically, horror drama thriller written and directed by Zach Hilfich. I say technically because it released in 2025 at South by Southwest, then received a limited release just this month in North America, and will be coming to Australia and New Zealand in a few short weeks, beginning of February. A quick synopsis: after a catastrophic military disaster that causes a total loss of life in Tasmania, it's discovered that some of the dead reanimate and become slowly but increasingly more agitated as they fail to finish their unfinished business. An American woman named Ava travels as a volunteer to search for her missing husband. What she finds is far more terrifying. That's not from Google. That's from me, because Google's synopsis was stupid and not anything like the movie at all. Mm. It stars Daisy Ridley, Brenton Thwaites, and Mark Coles Smith. It had the biggest opening weekend gross in Vertical Entertainment history with $3.5 million on just over 1,000 screens, so really not bad. Couldn't find a solid budget on this one, but several sources confirm it was pretty low. So far, the movie has earned a 6.1 out of 10 on IMDb, a 2.9 out of 5 on Letterboxd, and a 47% audience and 85% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes for a whopping 38-point spread.
It is quite the spread.
Huge spread. We were talking about how big of a spread it was last week, but this one's even bigger.
Mm-hmm. Who will we believe? Who would you believe? Do you know what that quote's from?
I don't believe either of
them. No, you don't, because you don't watch that movie.
What movie?
Easy A.
Oh. I have seen it. It's just been a really long time.
Well, rewatch it.
Maybe. Probably not.
Fine. Do what you must.
Hmm. Did you get Annihilation vibes from this film? It's literally just Annihilation in a different font, like a sans serif font.
Yeah, I get. Like, I see what you're meaning. I feel like I didn't really get that vibe, but I think that's because Annihilation in my mind is like such a visual thing.
Sure.
Whereas this is more like, I see the similarities plot-wise, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, allow me. Please. Please.
She's a doctor. Mm-hmm. Who goes to volunteer at ground zero of some sort of catastrophe where weird sci-fi shit's happening. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know that weird sci-fi shit's happening until she gets there. She goes there to look for her husband, who in flashbacks, we find out there's been some cheating happening and there's been a lot of relationship problems. The relationship problems aren't exactly... like, that's not really forthright. We have a little bit of an unreliable narrator until closer to the end of the movie where we realize that she was actually the one cheating and, like, causing the destruction. Maybe not causing the destruction of the marriage, but, like, definitely she played a big part in it where we sort of assume it was him towards the beginning of the movie. Yeah. And then she gets out of it, sort of. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just see a lot of parallels to Annihilation. Which is fun for me because I love that movie.
Yeah. I'm picking up what you're putting down. I don't think I would have ever, like, thought of that, but you're right. But again, because I think, I don't know, when I think of Annihilation, I think of that, like, the shimmer.
Yeah. 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 It is very visual. It's much more sci-fi. It's better.
Yeah. But plot-wise, I see it.
Thank you. Thank you. I haven't seen anybody talking about that yet. I'm surprised.
Yeah. Get on it, people.
Yeah.
Just because you mentioned the cheating plot, can I just say there were two moments in this movie where I was like, oh, this is what's going to happen. And then it didn't happen. And then it did happen. And I was like, wait, it's Whiplash. Like, I was like thinking that I predicted it and then it didn't. And then I did predict it eventually.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
So, like, for example, when the military guy and her go back to his house, mm-hmm. and he's like talking about his wife, I was like, he has his pregnant wife somewhere, like, locked up. And I was like, that's so fucked up. Mm-hmm. And then they go up and start dancing, and I was like, this is not worse but weirder. Like, this is not what I was expecting this to go. And then as soon as she ran into the other room, I was like, oh my god, I was right. Like, she's gonna be in there.
Yeah.
And then I did the same thing with the cheating thing. Because I was like, she's searching around the hotel. And I was like, oh my god, she's going to find him in bed with another girl. And then she opens the door and he's sitting on the ground. And I was like, oh, I guess not. And then it pans up to the two wine glasses. And I was like, wait, I am right. Fuck. Like,
yeah.
It was just kind of like funny Whiplash moments when I was watching it. That I was like, oh, I'm right. I'm wrong. I'm right.
Yeah. I knew something was off about him. The soldier guy. What was his name?
I don't remember, but yeah, he was giving weird vibes from the start.
Yeah. I thought that he had killed Brendan Thwaites' character.
For a second, I did too, and I feel like I would have thought that if they hadn't, like, marketed as Brendan Thwaites in this role. I was
he's gonna come back.
Yeah, I was like, I think it's too early for that to happen, but I did kind of think that when he's like, oh, yeah, he drove away. He got out of my grasp. And I was like, did he kill him? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then I kept waiting for Thwaites' character to show up at the farmhouse, like, if he followed them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then that didn't happen. So I was like, okay, he's going to show up at the resort.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think they ended up together? Like, are they raising that baby together?
No. That doesn't feel like a relationship that would last.
Yeah. A lot of people do think that they, like, that was their happy ending. Everybody got their happy ending. Like, I don't think that his happy ending was ending up with somebody else with another kid. I think he just wanted his kid back.
Yeah. I feel like that's just, like, that American mentality of, like, wanting that happy ending.
Yeah.
Which I do think it ends on a hopeful note.
Yeah.
I don't think it's, like, a horrible ending. It's just, do I think that realistically that's a couple that's gonna make it in the long run? Probably not.
My only small complaint with the ending was that there wasn't a whole lot of, I mean, yeah, there was the like inability to conceive. But there wasn't any real like character development of like her wanting to be a mom or like needing to be a mom to where like that is the resolution of a movie. It was more about the relationship troubles and the pregnancy, not being able to get pregnant, which like I guess is a little implied that like if you're trying to get pregnant, you also want to be a mom. But I wish that there had been some sort of like dialogue on, you know, like I've wanted to be a mom since I like since I was a little girl, or you know, just something about where, because it felt to me like they were trying to fix their relationship by having a baby, or like that was the cause of the breakdown of their relationship. It was too much. I don't know.
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah, if they had connected it more to her quest,
yeah,
it maybe would have been like a neater bow tied at the end.
Yeah.
I guess, I don't know. When I was watching it, I didn't even think of it as like connecting to her because she hadn't really talked about that. Like, yeah, you know that there were pregnancy issues with their marriage, but like, mm-hmm. I don't know. When she found the baby, I was just thinking of it more in terms of like, oh, there's hope in this situation because the baby was okay, which also, that's crazy.
Yeah, honestly.
I'm willing to suspend my belief because this is about a nuclear blast that somehow lets people who have unfinished business do it. I think it's more of a bit more of a metaphorical plot that you have to kind of suspend your belief for. So I'm willing to let it slide, but that's crazy work to think that that baby would be okay inside a dead body for that long.
Yeah.
It would not be fine. But sometimes you just have to let those things go, you know?
Yeah, I did. I absolutely did.
Yeah. I thought about it for like 3 seconds. I was like, well, that's not. And I was like, eh, it doesn't matter.
Did you find this movie funny at all?
At parts, yeah. I feel like Thwaites' character broke the seriousness of it.
Yeah, for sure.
He definitely had some funny moments.
He had some good lines. Honestly, my favorite scene was when they put when he throws up on the husband, that I was cackling.
That was a really good tension breaker where it's like this very emotional moment and then it's just him throwing up on her dead husband and it was like, okay, now I'm laughing again.
Yeah. Are you going to throw up? No. But no, it, more than that, the whole like Viking send off for the husband was hilarious to me. I thought for sure they were in this like little cove that had a very small opening. I thought for sure the boat was going to run into the cove and like not make it out into open ocean. They didn't even show that part, but I thought for sure that that was what was going to happen.
That's funny.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, this was a real roller coaster of emotions.
Mm-hmm. That's what Daisy Ridley said in an interview, that when her mom watched it, she like messaged Ridley and was like, oh my god, that was so sad. And then her sister watched it and was like, oh my god, that was so scary. So it was just like two completely different reactions to it.
Mm-hmm. She said that this is her first horror movie. She said it didn't feel like making a horror movie. To her, it felt more like a meditation on grief and shame a little bit. But interestingly and sort of relatably, she said that the scene in the cabin was by far the most frightening to her. And then the scariest to film was the one with the zombie running after her when she dives into the overturned bus. Yeah, the scariest to watch was the scene in the cabin, and the scariest to film was the running.
Yeah.
Get
which that Hilditch actually said that the bus scene was the hardest to film, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But he said trying to figure out how they were going to get the bus on its side to begin with was kind of just a logistical issue.
Yeah.
And then by the time that filming happened for that, they only had 25 days to film. So by the time they were filming that scene, they were already behind. And he said it was just massive stunt work. And there was just a lot that went wrong and they were losing light. They're always losing light. Anyways, it was just one of those moments where like everything just wasn't working very well. But they said the two actors in the scene, Daisy and the man who played the zombie, just like killed it. And they were just, they kind of just fixed everything by really nailing what they needed to do. So, yeah. It was a struggle scene.
Yeah. And from what I can tell, she did an interview with Drew Barrymore. Daisy Ridley did all of her own stunts. So that was actually her diving into the bus.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
Yeah, she said that her age is catching up to her a little bit, and she feels it in her knees. Like, she, the hardest, like, physically scene to film, whereas one where she was just sort of, like, sitting at an awkward angle, and then she had to stand up, and her knees were all, like, locked.
Yeah. Wait, you said this, the two scariest scenes, right? That's what you said? Yeah,
the scariest scene for her to watch back is the...
The campers, or the cabin scene.
Yeah. And the scariest to film is the running.
She did talk about what her favorite scene to film was.
Oh.
If I could just hop right off of your point.
Yeah.
But yeah, she said that her favorite scene to film was the camper scene where she's like helping the zombie dig the grave for his zombie family. Well, they didn't wake up. I guess his unfinished business was putting them to rest.
Burying them, yeah.
Yeah, but she said that they filmed that on like one of the last evenings of filming, and the actor who played the zombie was just very fantastic, and she just got a lot out of his thing. But she said it was just kind of a moment that really encompasses what the whole movie was getting at, which was this kind of unfinished, the things left unsaid, grief, how we deal with that, this kind of humanity that we're finding in this moment of tragedy. And
Yeah.
Which I did, if I could, okay. I really love that they were able to do something a little bit different with this and have it be these like unfinished business people, and that's who's waking up. Like, that's a different idea that I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
But I wish it was like a little bit more consistent. Like, some of them gain consciousness and just like immediately attack, and then others like have things they need to do. Does that make sense? Like, the guy who attacks her in the bus is just like, why? What's his unfinished business? To kill her?
Well, I think it's the longer they have unfinished business, the more aggressive they get. Oh, so yeah, he probably was just like out and about for a while.
Yeah, I guess like timeline wise, because haven't they all been there the same? The blast happened at the same time. So shouldn't they all?
Yeah, they're just all waking up at different times. And
yeah, that's why I was like, I feel like there's just something here that maybe I wish was a little bit more fleshed out.
Sure.
I don't know. Minor complaint. It was fine.
On the topic of the zombies, this might be a Killer Cuties exclusive fake fact.
Oh, great.
But in a couple interviews, Daisy Ridley was calling the zombies in-betweens.
Mm.
So that might be the script name for them. Is in-betweens.
In-betweens.
Which like makes sense, because they're...
In between.
In between. Yeah. As above.
So below. Hilder said that the original script didn't even include zombies.
Crazy.
Yeah. He said that they just kind of slowly started making their way into the story. And he didn't want to... When he first kind of started thinking about zombies, he's like, I don't want to include them just to include them. Like, I don't want to do something if it's not something that we haven't seen before. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't want to do the same old dance with a zombie movie. And so he said once he kind of connected that with the idea of having unfinished business, that's when it kind of all came together. And he was like, wait, okay, I can do this.
Yeah. Yeah. The original draft, he wrote it in 2019. The original draft was an exploration of grief. And the original idea came to him while he was cleaning out his mom's house after she had sadly passed away, and sort of like catharsis surrounding that. And he did feel like he had a solid story with that alone. But that there was just something missing, and that's where all the zombies started to come into.
Yeah. I know he talked a lot about, which we see a lot at the beginning of the movie when they're recovering the bodies, of going through these people's houses who are already passed and just seeing those moments, those family photos, like what they were doing in their last moments, all of these kind of little touches of their life that you just have to do this mundane activity that's just packed with emotion, I guess.
Yeah.
Which I did think that was really interesting. He said that he wanted to do a lot more of that, but he's like, we just don't have time. Like, it wouldn't make sense for the pacing, but yeah. I think he really liked those moments, so.
Fun.
Yeah.
One more thing about the in-betweens. Mm. Daisy really confirmed that the makeup was all practical. Nice. So that's really what she was looking at.
That makes sense. I feel like it looked achievable.
It looked good, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't look like anything that you couldn't do practically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not to say it looked bad. I don't think
no, so. I mean that as a compliment. Yeah. I just mean it wasn't like, I don't obviously know, now I'm trying to think of it. Yeah, where it would have to be because you couldn't get it practically, you know?
Yeah.
One thing that you warned me about before I went to see it, because you saw it the day before me, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a big fan of teeth stuff. It's yeah. fine. It's not, I don't like to call it a trigger because it doesn't, I'm fine if I see it. It just, I don't like it. I don't love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not like, I won't have a panic attack or anything like that. So I don't want to, I don't know. It feels like I'm minimizing triggers when I say that, because that's like a real thing that can actually mentally impact someone. Whereas
sure.
I'm just like, eh. But
sure.
But yeah, they, Hilditch said that the idea of the teeth grinding was like one of the first things he thought of. It was like yeah. before they even kind of started doing anything, because he basically knew that they weren't going to have all this money to spend on how he was going to make things unique
mm-hmm.
in terms of effects. So again, this idea that they're growing more agitated the longer they're there, he said, how can I, like, what's a way to represent that? And he thought of grinding teeth. And so that was kind of one of the things that he wanted to milk as much as possible and put in wherever he could. And he also said that the sound team that he worked with, that like that was the thing that we're most excited to work on, was getting that sound right. So
ew.
It honestly didn't bother me as that much. The only part that I was like, eh, that's not for me, was the first time they did it with the
yeah
the dancer who's
the
like
pink hair, yeah,
and you can see it, her teeth like chipping away.
Yeah,
as
yeah,
she's
yeah,
doing.
Yeah.
That I was like, all right, that's I'm good, thank you.
No thanks. No, yeah. Thank you.
Not for me, but
yeah,
it was a good way to kind of, I don't know, it worked. It made me uncomfortable. That's the point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Couple casting fun facts.
Mm.
Brendan Thwaites had a week's notice when he was informed of the part. And from when he had to start filming, he said that one of the reasons he agreed so quickly was the unique, fresh take on zombies and how character-driven and emotionally clear the story was. And then Daisy Ridley was the first actress to receive the script based on the director's research, and she accepted the role within a week also.
They were into it.
Yeah.
I also saw an interview with Brendan Thwaites who said that it was actually his friend who got the role first. And that's why they reached out to him, because his friend was like, hey, can you help me get out of this? Because I have something else I want to do. And so his friend was going to like leave the movie and was like, oh, I know a guy who can do it. And that's why they reached out to him.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, he's like, well, send me the script. Like, let me see if I want to do it.
Hey, he was hot in this.
I don't know what it is about him that makes me think he's, like, very young. Because yeah. I'm pretty sure we looked it up and he's older than us,
he's
right?
older than us, yeah.
And I don't
it's
know
because of
is.
Maze Runner.
He's not in
Not Maze Runner. Oh, I was like, The Giver.
I've never seen The Giver. He was in Oculus, though. I think that's the one thing that I have seen him in, and he does play a younger version of a character. So I feel like I just think of him as this, like, kid.
Oh.
I don't know. And that's not fair to him. He's a grown-ass man. He's older than me, but
yeah,
I don't know. Watching it, I'm just like, oh, he's so cute. Look at him try to be tough.
the other movie that I know him from, Dylan and I watched on our first night together.
Night biblically, or? You don't have to answer that.
tomato, tomato.
Sorry, that was crazy work asking.
Yeah, no. I mean, no. Okay, you really threw me off. God damn.
I'm so sorry. I don't know where that came from.
The first time I went to Dylan's house, we watched a movie with Brendan Thwaites in it.
Mm-hmm.
Care to guess which one?
The Giver?
No.
Oh.
Not as good.
I don't know. I don't know any other movies he's been in besides Oculus, and I know you haven't seen that, so.
Pirates of the Caribbean 4.
I don't think I watched past 2.
Which is a crime, because 3 is very good.
I don't even know what that's about.
That's okay. 4 is not good. 4 is terrible.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
Anyway, but that's not because of Brendan Thwaites.
Oh, no, I'm sure he did great.
Yeah, he was fine.
Yeah.
But again, he played a child, and I was 30 or 25 at the time, and he was playing like a teenager.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. he feels like a kid to me.
Yeah. Yeah, he just does. It's like the kid with black hair in Hannah Montana. What's his name? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Moises?
Yeah, Moises Arias. Is that his name?
Yeah, yeah.
Perpetually 12 years old. But he's 45.
He's an adult. No, he's not 45. He's younger than us, right?
He's 31. He's our age.
Okay, okay. I was like, there's no way he's 45. Jackson's old. The guy who played Jackson was like 30 when they were filming.
Yeah, yeah. So he's, yeah. What's his name? I met him at Disneyland once. Wait.
I don't remember his name.
His name's Jackson Stewart. No, that's the kid. Jason Earls. Yeah, he's 48.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure because around the time that the show ended, that people, there was like this whole meme of him and John Cena standing next to each other, and they're the same age.
That's crazy.
I know.
John Cena's almost 50? Well, that checks out, actually.
Yeah, he's been around for a while.
Isn't John Cena in Psych?
I could not tell you.
Yeah, I think he plays Jules' sister. I mean, brother.
It'd be better if he played her sister. But
I know, right?
That makes sense. Maybe I didn't make it that far.
It's pretty far, yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember how many seasons of that show I watched.
At least 7.
No, you watched seasons. Psych season 7.
I have seen every season of Psych 100 times.
I stopped at some point, but I do want to go back and rewatch it eventually. Because it's so good. It was a good show.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
Psych, Monk, and House. That's all anybody ever needs to watch. That. Anything else?
It's like you want to hurt my feelings.
Buffy, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Honestly, House and Buffy. That's all I need.
Yeah. If I had to pick 2 out of the 4, it would not be Buffy. But I could see why you would pick Buffy. I would pick Psych and House.
It makes me so sad.
I do like Buffy. Buffy, no, I would pick Buffy over Monk.
It. You haven't even watched the best season of that show.
I haven't even watched the musical episode that you're so...
I just want the record. Oh, is it so hard to ask that I want to buy a record of my favorite musical episode TV show without spending $900? Apparently. Apparently.
One has it. I've never been on live television before. First of all, that record has not sold for $900 in like 7 years. They're selling for like the 4 to 5 range. So calm down.
That's still so much for a single record. I really hope when the reboot comes out that they'll like relaunch some of the old stuff. That'd be sick. Yeah. Anyways, we've strayed so far from this episode, and I have more fun facts.
Okay. I'm glad you do because I'm out.
Oh yeah. I have a couple more.
Hit me.
All right. First, when Hilditch was originally writing the first draft of this movie, he was actually living in Los Angeles at the time. So he wanted it to be an American movie, like set in America. He was going to have it be like this whole cross-country road trip where like millions of people had died. And it was kind of going to be like a more epic journey, right? But he said it was kind of too big for its own good because obviously like they don't really have a budget. So
yeah.
Had to kind of limit it, but basically when COVID happened, he moved back to Australia, and then he kind of toyed with the idea of making it set in Australia, and then he was like, actually, what if we kind of just condensed it even more. And so that's where Tasmania came in. Which, by the way, remember when you said it was in Azerbaijan?
Yeah, it's not.
You were so convinced. When the movie started and she's like, I'm going to Tasmania, I was like, that's not what Katie said.
No, no, that's not Azerbaijan.
It's not even close. But I did chuckle a little bit when I realized that that was not where they were going. But anyways, yeah, he thought it would just be kind of more interesting if it's this tiny island that just completely gets wiped out and it's a little bit more remote, harder to get to, so it's not as accessible to the public. And yeah, that way they can kind of keep this secret of what's actually going on there.
I mean, to be clear, Azerbaijan is also not very accessible to the public, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh, are there restrictions? I think you can.
I don't know.
Go,
just right? Like, how many people do you know that go there?
Well, maybe we should go.
Okay.
Maybe we should become Azerbaijan TikTok influencers.
Okay.
All right. Let's go.
All right.
Anyways, considering it's hard to get to, they actually didn't even film there either. So that's another fun fact that kind of plays into that. They filmed it in Western Australia in a town called Albany, which is kind of at the very south of the continent to get the beach. But yeah, not filmed there.
Yeah, they said that working with the Australian government and like their movie oversight department, I guess, was actually a really great experience. And they really take pride in the art that comes from the country. So that's nice.
I've heard that before, that like movie production in Australia is very, not like sacred, but I can't think of a better word. Like mm-hmm. it's very like revered. Like they care a lot about it.
Yeah. And honestly, they put out good movies. Like every Australian movie that we've watched has been good. I think there's been three of them.
Is it that they're all good though, or is it that the good ones just make it here?
That could be true.
Do we just hear about the good ones?
Yeah, that's probably true.
We have one Australian listener, so if you're listening to this episode, please let us know. Australian horror movie clunkers that we can add to our list.
Yeah.
So that we can evaluate the good and the bad. Mm-hmm, how about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. I like it. All right, last fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
When they were filming the ending scene, apparently Brenton Thwaites just like always had his guitar on him, which I'm going to try not to make fun of too much, but apparently they were making up songs as they were like in between takes and stuff like that. And one of the songs was called Sad, Sad Ava. And they said it's a real bop, but he doesn't remember how it goes. So he couldn't play it in the interview where they asked him about it.
They had cameras everywhere. They couldn't have recorded that for him.
Well, who's to say? Maybe that's just for them.
Do you know he makes music? Like he has music.
Since he's carrying a guitar everywhere he goes, that he's probably a musician. But no, I didn't know.
Did you know that before that?
No. What's some of his songs?
I don't know. I just know that one of the interviews that I watched pivoted from the movie to start talking about his album. It's so random.
That is.
This child and his music career.
He's a tiny little baby boy.
Yeah.
Trying to make his way
in the big world of music and movies.
How old is he? Like 40?
No, I don't think he's that much older than us. But
oh, okay.
I think he's 34 or something. Let's look. Killer Q's fake fact. Brenton Thwaites is 39 years old.
He's 70 years old. He just turned this year. He's 36.
That's crazy.
He has 5 children?
No way!
This is a father of 5 that I'm calling a child.
He's been married for 15 years.
Mr. Thwaites, I apologize. I don't know what's wrong with me.
How old are his kids?
A year after The Giver came out.
What? He was definitely a child in that movie.
The Giver, 2014. Married, 2015.
That is insane. 5 children?
I like how this was 11 years ago. To be clear, he was 25 years old when he got married. That's a super normal age to
get married. Yeah, that's how old I was when I got married.
There's something about his face. He looks like a little kid to me. I don't know what to tell you. Well, that's good, you know? You're youthful. Yeah. That's really funny. I don't know why I have this idea in my mind that he's a little guy.
Yeah, no, I'm the same.
Yeah, well, he's not, so if anybody's wondering, Killer Kitty's excuse exclusive. Brenton Thwaites is 36, has been married for 10 years, and has 5 children.
5 children is crazy.
That's crazy for anybody. Couldn't be me. But I get, yeah, like, he's had time. He's 36.
Yeah. We've been married for a long time.
Man. Well, you learn something new every day.
Yeah. Usually it's not that earth-shattering.
True. You're right. Nothing has changed my life more than this moment.
Yeah. Oh, well, should we rate it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. How scary did you think it was?
I gave it a 1. I feel like a lot of the zombie moments themselves were very in your face, except for maybe the first one where, like, they're just staring at each other.
Mm-hmm.
That moment mixed with the military guy, like, taking her to the house, there was definitely unease there. Yeah. I don't think it was, like, pure terror, but it was definitely, like, an uncomfortable feeling of, like, something is going to happen.
Yeah.
So I gave it a 1. I gave it a little bump because I wasn't, like, super scared, but there was something there that was making me uncomfortable, so I felt like I needed to give it a little something.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah. I gave it a 1.5 for that scene in the garage alone. That really put me on edge. The first time we're introduced to the in-betweens or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really got me. I don't know what it is, but I've thought about that scene and him just sort of like half in the light ever since.
How sexy did you think it was?
I gave it a 2.
Okay.
1.5 points for Brenton Thwaites.
Oh, great.
Yeah, just him. There's just something about him in this one.
Yeah. You like a motorcycle?
No, I think it was the hair.
Okay.
And like the beachy vibes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
And the accent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about you?
I give it 1.5 just for cast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do. If he is a grown adult, so I don't know why. Why I keep thinking of him as a child. He's not. And yeah, I get it. Like, he had his moments in this where I was like, oh, okay. I think when he was the cutest in this, which also Daisy Ridley, beautiful. I gave 0.5 for each of them. But I think his cutest moment was when they're in the like, stripper part.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, like, asking him to help drive her down. And he's just like, my country needs me. The dead need me. And then he's like, I'm just fucking with you. Like, I'll go grab helmets.
Yeah.
Like, that was a very cute moment where he's just like, his charm showed.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. He's very charming. Yes.
Yeah.
How fucked up did you think it was?
I give it a 2.
Oh.
Both for the teeth thing.
Yeah.
I give it a little bit of thing for that. Mm-hmm. And then I did give it the military guy keeping his wife that's fucked up, and all the women in the little garage, the little cat, like, shed thing that she just left there. By the way, she never went back and freed those people. That's crazy.
Oof.
I kept thinking that when she, like, passed the hat, when they passed it on their way back. I was like, oh, are they gonna stop by and, like, I know they're zombies, but, like, there's still, I don't know, there's still so much humanity in these zombies that it felt very uncomfortable to be, like, they're still just chained up in there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But at the same time, very traumatic experience for her. She probably doesn't want to.
Oh, yeah, I'm not.
But.
Hopefully she told people about it when they got back to the checkpoints.
I was going to say that was some sort of, like, vindication or something. But at the same time, she literally has his baby at the end, so.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be an excuse.
Yeah. What about you?
I gave it a 2 also. I didn't think that you would give it that high. I thought you would just give it 0.5 for the teeth. But because the cabin scene, we've definitely seen those kinds of, like, oh, humanity is scarier than the monster. mm-hmm. trope, but this one just felt really done, if not a little predictable. So bumps up for that. Did bump it up for the teeth stuff. The teeth stuff bothered me. There was an ankle thing that bothered me. But at least there wasn't any sound associated, so it wasn't too bad. So yeah, two.
Yeah, I was going to say, which I won't say what about this because I don't want to spoil 28 years later for you, but I did see people comparing a scene in this to that movie mm-hmm. and being like, oh, like if I had a nickel for every time this happened, I'd have two. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking it reminds me of the first one because it's like, oh, the scariest part about this is a guy in the military. Yeah. That's the same as the first one.
Honestly.
All right. Overall, what did you think of We Bury the Dead?
This was a really fun watch. It was a unique zombie, an emotional story, very well acted. Like, I thought awards-worthy acting from Daisy and Brenton both. The music was really good. We didn't talk about it, but the song at the beginning is a Kid Cudi song. Mm-hmm. And that song is like carries throughout the entire movie, which I thought was really fun. I really can't stop thinking about this movie. It really tickled me for some reason. Not like in like a funny haha way, but like it just, it was just really good.
Yeah.
I've been absolutely clamoring to go and see it again. The only reason I'm going to give it a 4.5 and not a 5 is because it's just Annihilation, but Annihilation did Annihilation better. So I couldn't give it the full 5, but I did still give it a 4.5.
Dang, she liked it.
Yeah,
she
I really liked this
liked
one.
It.
Yeah, emotional, funny, scary, just like a good theater experience. Yeah, I really loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, Trashuary, who is she? We don't know her.
Yeah, honestly. And oh my God, I forgot. Yeah, literally.
Literally.
Yeah, this is like the first good horror movie in January that like the world has ever seen.
It's never been done before.
Yeah.
It's because it originally came out in 2015. Nope, 2025. That'd be so crazy.
Close. You were so close.
That's why
the
you
year
look
that
so
Brenton
young.
Got married.
That's so funny. Yeah, good. I'm glad you liked it so much. I did like it, not as much as you, but I did still like it a lot. I gave it a 3.5. I think I really appreciate the fact that they did something a little bit different with zombies. It's hard to do that, so I respect it a lot when you're able to. I think having that unfinished business and like things that are left unsaid is we've seen a lot of movies that are just like metaphors for grief in horror in the past couple years. Which I love as much as the next guy, but I am kind of like, okay, we've seen it. But I do mm-hmm. think that this is kind of a different take on that type of movie where it's saying a very specific thing about grief, which is interesting to me. And I like that that did connect to the zombies. I think, again, I wish that it was like a little bit more fleshed out and like how this is happening. But maybe that's just kind of like a nitty gritty thing that doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. So, you know. How much can you really harp on it for that?
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I liked it. I had a good time at the theaters. I thought it was fun. It was different. I'm a fan.
Good. There's a guy in my theater that walked out during the pool scene where they're swimming together, and he never came back. I was so mad at him. I don't fucking know. Because he's a man.
Oh. I've never actually seen someone like walk out of a horror movie before until I saw Bring Her Back. And then I actually saw a couple get up and leave and never come back. And I was like, oh, that happens. Like people actually do that.
Do you remember the movie Downsizing? Did you ever watch that?
No, but I heard that it was like not with the trailer promoted at all.
Yeah, the trailer promoted like a comedy and
yeah, I heard it was like really sad.
Yeah, Dylan and I went on a double date to go see it when it was mm-hmm. in theaters. And at some point, the couple that we were with just got up and left. I didn't even watch them communicate that they were going to. They just got up and left.
The people you were with?
The people that we were with. And then they just, like, no text message, nothing. They just waited outside for us. They were like, we couldn't sit in there anymore. It was so funny.
So funny.
Yeah. But that movie sucked ass. Worst movie I've ever seen.
Oh, see, I've always been interested to watch it, but like going in knowing that it's not what it was marketed as.
Which yeah, actually, maybe if I watch it again now, maybe.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like this movie, they didn't do it that... They kind of did a disservice with the trailer too, because the trailer promoted like the zombies like a lot more.
Yeah.
Like it shows the chase scene through the thing and all of this. And it's like, in reality, that's not really like a huge part of this movie.
Mm-mm.
Like the zombies aren't that aggressive throughout it. So it was kind of like, I think a lot of people probably went into this thinking it was going to be this straight zombie movie, which is why I kind of understand why the audience rating is lower than the critics.
Sure.
I think the critics are more correct with their rating.
Yeah, but absolutely.
I could see why a general audience would go into this thinking it's going to be this like big zombie movie, and then it's more of a quiet reflection. So they kind of didn't do their thing.
Yeah.
Also, to be clear, of the people walking out of the theater, it was a Scream Unseen, so we didn't know what movie it is. That's like an AMC thing where you just buy tickets and it's you just know like it's going to be a horror movie and about this long, so you don't know what the actual movie is.
Mm-hmm.
But it did happen during a very specific scene, and people who have seen it probably know what scene, but they were like, that's enough, and they got up and left.
Yikes.
And I don't necessarily blame them for it, so.
Yikes.
Yeah, well, it's teeth.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. You'll see when we watch it eventually.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, would you survive?
I thought long and hard about this one. I am absolutely that girl that would go all the way to Tasmania to look for my presumably dead husband in the pursuit of closure, especially if I have something to be guilty about. I would want that face-to-face closure. Yeah. But I don't think that I'm the girl that runs from a like military-esque volunteer activation base. So I'm just living and taking my sweet time getting my closure, I guess. I'm just stuck helping the cause, and eventually I'll get down to the resort under the safety of the volunteer organization. And
Yeah.
How about you?
I said yes for the same exact reason. I'm not married. If I was married, and I would definitely go down there. But either way, I feel like us being down there is not really an option. We have to be in the situation of the movie. That's our rules.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm there, I'm also not leaving.
Yeah.
If they're like, hey, we can't go down there, the whole city's on fire and it's very, very dangerous, I'm probably going to chill for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's not getting any deader.
So,
well, actually, he wasn't, but some of them are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, we both live. Look at that.
Hooray. Good for us.
We love to see it. What is that, tomorrow? Do we both live?
That's I think cool. So.
Yeah.
We beat the zombie apocalypse. We beat religious psychosis.
We did not beat werewolves, but we'll get them next time.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, do you want to tell me the plot of next week's movie?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
Great. Next week, we are going to be talking about the skeleton key.
Yeah, well, I know what a skeleton key is.
That helps.
Yeah, it's a key that opens all the doors. So this movie is about a haunted home.
Yeah.
That has a ton of locked doors, and the new owners of the house, as all haunted house movies start, get the skeleton key, but the old caretaker of the house is like, here's the skeleton key, but I beg you not to use it. Because every time they use it, it opens a door, not to the room that's inside, but to a portal that lets malevolent spirits into the house. And it takes them four doors and their cat dying to realize that they actually were letting spirits into the house.
They just keep opening the portals not knowing?
They just, yeah. And then on like the fourth one of them kills the cat. And they're like, fuck, we've just been letting malevolent spirits in our house. Just like the caretaker said, we should have listened to that guy.
Yeah.
And then they have to figure out how to get the spirits back into their respective portals and use the skeleton key to lock them back up again. At some point, the skeleton key is stolen by one of the spirits, and that causes some problems. And then they do finally get the malevolent spirits back into their respective portals. And unlike other haunted house movies, they actually end up staying and just following the rules of the house. And then they live happily because mortgage rates are rising and we're not moving from the houses that we buy currently.
Yeah.
So, skeleton key.
Wow. I love a happy ending.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a cautious ending. I'd call it a cautious ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they had kids. Yeah, they had kids. And who's to say the kids don't steal a skeleton key and try to open up one of the doors one day? I mean, that's the risk that they are willing to take by staying in the home.
That's, you know, that's very, very true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what did I get right? Actually, what did I get wrong? Because most of that's right.
No.
Bummer.
Yeah, sorry.
Nothing?
Not really. Mm. There is a house.
Wow. Usually is.
Yep. It's not really haunted. This movie is more about hoodoo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like bayou?
Yeah, it takes place in Louisiana.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I only know the word hoodoo from Princess and the Frog.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. It's just like The Princess and the Frog, actually.
Oh, good. I'll love it.
Yeah.
The movie slaps.
Yeah.
The soundtrack, immaculate.
Yeah, I was just about to say, maybe not as good a music, but I honestly don't know because that was before I even thought about score. So mm-hmm. I haven't seen this movie in so long. I'm actually really excited to rewatch it.
Good.
But it stars Kate Hudson, so that's exciting.
Oh, our first exactly. Kate Hudson.
Yeah, like when you think about a movie about Louisiana and hoodoo, you think of Kate Hudson. So
exactly.
Definitely exactly. makes a lot of sense. And the Forgotten Skarsgård, Peter. So he's in it too.
Forgotten? That implies I knew who that was in the first place. Never heard of him.
I'm just kidding. He's not actually a part of that family. His last name's Sarsgaard, but it's so close to Skarsgård that I always think he's part of that family. So
okay.
That was a joke. Thinking you would know who he was, but nope. You don't, so that's okay. Honestly, that's fine. You'll probably see him and be like, yes, I know who that is, but...
Okay. Kate? Who? Yep. Which Kate? Kate
Hudson.
Who? Hudson.
Kate Hudson.
Not the one I was thinking of.
Peter Sarsgaard.
Kate Hudson, now I have envisioned. When you first said Kate Hudson, I thought Kate, the other one. The one in Avatar, the one in Titanic.
Winslet.
Winslet. Thank you.
Mm, no.
But now I'm on the right page.
Kate Hudson from like the second best rom-com with the number 10 in it.
10 Dresses?
No, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh.
Which is it's right under 10 Things I Hate About You.
Got it.
In terms of 10 movies.
Isn't it 27 dresses? It's a lot it more is dresses 27. Than 10.
It's more than double, yeah. All right, cool. Well, I'm excited to rewatch. I'm glad that we both liked We Bury the Dead. We broke our shitty start of the year movie trend.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get a clunker in here, though. This is crazy.
Yeah, we've had some good slappers.
Yeah, well, Thanksgiving was probably our last one that was... But we thought that it was supposed to be something else, so who's to say?
Well, you know, and then looking back, we did a Thanksgiving marathon, and by we, I mean me, did mm-hmm. a Thanksgiving marathon on Thanksgiving of, like, 3 years ago.
Yeah, not on the podcast.
No.
You did that in
real life. I did that in Discord.
Yeah. Well, maybe next year, this year, because it's 2026, we'll do a better Thanksgiving horror movie.
Yeah. We can Couldn't do the ones. We can do the one with McDreamy in it.
I think I might actually have... Well, I don't remember.
What's that one called? Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving, yeah.
What?
I can hear that.
Why?
I don't know. I don't have a Thanksgiving movie on the schedule.
All right, put that one on there.
Mm.
It did fine. It's either that or Poultrygeist.
Oh, we have to do a Thanksgiving one? Okay.
What do you mean? Of course we do.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm thinking. Sorry. Cool. I'll relook at the schedule. Anyways, thank you guys for listening. We hope you go see the movie. We liked it.
Yeah. Let us know if you thought it was scary or sad.
Yeah. Let us know of Australian horror movie clunkers that we can add to our list.
Oh, yeah.
And please feel free to like and subscribe.
That would be very helpful.
We would love it. And we'll see you next week for the Skeleton Key.
Bye.
Bye.